We are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're reading from verses 8 to 11. Sorry, David. Sorry, mate. 5, verse 8 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Good evening, all. It's a privilege to share God's word tonight. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, as was read out in our Bible reading. If we could open there, please, there'll be other texts as well that will be on the screen. We'll be considering this part of Ephesians, which is a very practical part of the book of Ephesians. I mean, all the Bible is practical in the sense that it instructs us for life and godliness, and it is complete. Any issue in life, anything you'll ever face, any thing you need to go through, any instruction, any decision, the Word of God is complete in its fullness. From Genesis to Revelation, it is inspired, true and holy Word of God. And so we indeed want it for our life and for our practice. And in Ephesians, after expounding on the character of God and who God is, the Apostle Paul brings us to a set of instructions and a very practical part of the book. And so there we read in Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's ask God's help and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this word, these set of verses, and we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would take this and make it real in each heart. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide me, Lord, just as your mouthpiece tonight, as a channel only, as a vessel. And Lord, we acknowledge and I acknowledge that it is your word and it is your Holy Spirit. And you are the one that quickens the heart. You are the one that makes alive the heart. You are the one that can make something real to someone. You are the one that alone can make life change and have something that is in the text come to life and come to bear upon one's heart and conscience and then direct the will accordingly. We pray we'd be your changed children, Lord, that we would be not partakers of darkness, but that we would walk as children of light. Instruct us, Lord, as a heavenly Father would instruct his children tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we covered a little bit of ground on this text already last time, where we considered a number of instructions in holy living, where it talked about us walking as children in light, children of light. And we know that God is light. In him is no darkness whatsoever. In God there is no darkness whatsoever. And that is made so clear in Scripture. And so when we confess that Christ is Lord, when we place our trust in Christ, when we're born again of God's Spirit, we do a 180-degree about turn. And the mark that should be upon our lives is not that we've repented one time and put our trust in Christ, but that we were continually be giving our life to Christ, that we would be continually walking in the light, which is known also as sanctification. And so there's salvation and then there is sanctification. We are saved and we are sanctified as we walk. And we considered last time in these verses that we ought to walk as children of light, that we ought to walk in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of walks in this text. And we are to walk in the manner that pleases Christ. You know, the verse 10 there that was read out, it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, the world has its own idea of what's acceptable. And, you know, the human heart, which is deceived, also has an idea of what's acceptable. And you know, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And see, God knows it. And God knows what is in man. And so when we want to consider what's acceptable to the Lord, we don't just look inwardly. We don't just look to the world and to the idea and standards of the world. But we look to the Word of God, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And also we ask, if we are God's child, we plead the Holy Spirit, reveal to us what is acceptable to Him. And He'll direct us to the passages of Scripture. And so when we think of walking in a manner that pleases Christ, when we think of walking as children of light, this is a real thing. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer children of darkness. We're children of light. How ought we then live? And you know, Colossians 3 gives us some sets of instruction. I'd like to open with that. It might be on the board there. But Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, if then, so if you're a child of God, if tonight you're saved, if you are a child of light, then seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above. Not on things on the earth, not on carnal things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with Him in glory. And now verse 5 makes it very practical. We have the instruction there, and now we have the very means by which we are to live. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Verse 5 says, put to death fornication. Put to death uncleanness. Put to death passion, evil desire. Put to death covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, because of these ingrown sins, because of these things which suppress our lives in unrighteousness, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them, but now you are to put off all these. So you're to put to death, and now verse 8 says you're to put off these things, to put off anger, to put off wrath, to put off malice, meaning, you know, when you want to do someone evil, someone wrong, put it off. Put off blasphemy. Do not curse God in your heart or your thought or your mouth. Put filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie, verse 9. Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and you've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So can we say amen to that? We're God's children. We're God's children of light. We're to not partake of those things. And as we move into now verses 11 and 12, I want to consider further instructions that are found in these verses, that are further instructions in sanctification. And I want to list one verse, Hebrews 12:14, which really sums up and ought to sum up our Christian life. You know, Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. That word pursue is a striving. Strive for peace, but strive for holiness. Because without it, you will not see the Lord. Now think about that. Is this a works-based verse? Is this based on works? No, it's not. It's not. But the mark of you being saved, the mark of you being a child of light, a child of God, is that you're pursuing holiness. It's the mark. And, you know, the book of Peter, 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And John Piper comments on this and says, you will never fall because you'll be confirming that you are in Christ, who is your righteousness. In other words, sanctification does not save us by replacing our justification. It saves us by confirming our justification. So your justification is your salvation. You're justified by the free gift of Christ on the cross, on the tree, who bore our sins in his body upon the tree. But because you are justified, now you're being sanctified. You're a child of light, and you ought to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Therefore, don't make a practice of sinning. Don't be lawless. Don't be lawless. Do not make a practice of sinning. And so in very practical terms, don't walk in such a way in closeness with unbelievers that they will drag you down. Because you're not to have fellowship with darkness. It doesn't mean we don't rub shoulders with people day to day, because we do, but don't participate in their sins. The book of Proverbs 13:20 says these words, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Don't walk in such a way that you're unequally yoked, as 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? The two do not coexist. Light and darkness do not coexist. When light comes, darkness is dispelled. So if I am a child of light, I ought not to walk in such a way where I'm unequally yoked with those who are dragging me down into sin. You might call it peer pressure amongst the young people today. A peer pressure where you're coming and you're in a yoke, you're in bondage with someone who's dragging you down. It ought not to be so. Come out of that. Come out of that unequal yoking. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And so we're not to be unequally yoked. We're not to have such a fellowship with others that they are dragging you down. And you ought to ask yourself, am I lifting someone up to God, or are they dragging me down in the murkiness of sin? In your relationships, young people, children, adults, you ought to be asking yourself, as a child of light, in this fellowship, in this relationship I have with this person, whether it's through work or friendship, am I lifting them up? Am I being a light to them, or are they dragging me down? And in this worldly system is enmity against God, beloved. And so James 4 says, you know, that the friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so there we have, again, another warning that whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So if you want to be a friend of that worldly system, now doesn't he explicitly say that we are to not enjoy God's creation? It doesn't say we're not to work and live in this world, but it says this system, the worldly system, that crucified Christ, this worldly system today that says there are many roads to God, this worldly system today that says good is evil and evil is good. That's what we ought to reject. That is darkness. And so, friends, we are not to be friends with the worldly system that is enmity, that is against God. And Romans 12:1 very well summarizes this and calls us to be separate. It calls us to not be partakers with those who are in darkness. In fact, Romans 12:1 says, and beseeches us, pleads with us by the mercies of God, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. If you're a child of light today, if you've been justified by Christ, if you've been justified, now you are being sanctified. And that act, that work of sanctification is this, that you're presenting your body a living sacrifice. And you're presenting it again. You're presenting it again. You're doing this daily. This is your take up your cross daily and follow me. Take upon me my yoke, my burden, for it is light, and you'll find rest for your soul. And Christ says, my commandments to you are not burdensome. So if you're trying to live the Christian life in a religious way, it will be tiring. But if you live this Christian life through the power of the Holy Spirit, through love and through joy, then you will have true joy. You will have true knowledge of God. And you will be a joyous Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And then it says this, and do not be conformed to this world. And if you think about a form, if you think about, you know, the work of pottery, or you think about a form that is created in a factory where most, where all of our plastics come from, there's a mold that's heated, metal molds, the plastic is injected and it's pressed and bang, it's spat out, bang, 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 products are spat out quicker than you can blink your eye. And that's what the world is trying to do in its form. It's trying to form you into its image, the worldly system that's enmity against God. So be careful what you ingest. Be careful what you take in. Be careful what you ingest. Brothers and sisters, be careful. You know, it's staggering to think, but you need to look up the statistics, how much plastic we actually ingest into our bodies when we eat. You know, if we all took it in one foul swoop, we would truly not be here. We would not be alive to tell the tale. But in your food and your packaging and in the processing of all of the materials, if over the course of a year you would see how much plastic you ingest into your body, you'd be horrified. Go look it up. But by small tokens, by minuscule tiny amounts over time, it's built up. And that's often the way the enemy works. A bit here and a bit there. He tries to take away your sharpness as a Christian. He tries to take away your joy. Tries to take away your service. He tries to take these things away, and he does it sometimes little by little by little. And it says here in this verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed when that feed pops up, whether it's through whatever social media platform there is out there, or through the TV, or through whatever means the enemy will get you. He's trying to press into you the mold of this world. But every time you read the Word of God, there's a different process occurring. There's a renewing process occurring. There's a holy process occurring. There's a beautiful process occurring. And it's the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every time you choose the Word of God over the world, every time you choose the voice of the Holy Spirit over something the world or that the devil or sin or your own fleshly desire can offer you, every time you open your heart and you're transformed, you are proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind is being changed that it might be the mind of Christ. And the Bible says we ought to have the mind of Christ. So be transformed, brother and sister, by the Word and by the Spirit of God. You know, today, shameful things, as we read out in Ephesians 5:12, shameful things that are done in secret, today are now paraded in the streets. You know, we live in such a time in Sodom and Gomorrah. We live in such a time as in the days of Noah. And there were mockers in those days, just as the Bible says, scoffers will come in the last days and they will say, where is the promise of his appearing? And it says of them that they lived their lives as if there was no God and that there was no law, that there was no God and no lawgiver. And that's the blueprint of the lawless one. And the lawless one will come. And even the Antichrist will come. And so many will be deceived. And so now the things that were once shameful to be talked about and done in secret, the evil things, the lustful things, now those works of darkness are paraded in the street. Now those works of darkness are on the screen and in your media and in your face. And in these last 50 years, this tiny speck of human existence, these last 40 years, 30 years, what has now been exposed to young children has never been exposed in the history of mankind, is now available in a tablet, in a phone, from a schoolmate. We live in perilous times. Perilous times. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But here we see the next thing. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever makes manifest is light. Rather than having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, we are to expose them. We are to call it as it is. We are to call darkness darkness, and we are to call light light. Where the world says, it's all grey. It's all in between. It's murky. And even further than that, they say, evil is good and good is evil. They go a step further. Brother and sister, do not partake in it. Do not, but rather expose it. And if you and I have the Holy Spirit in us, this will be the work of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is in this world today. He is convincing and convicting the world of their sin and of righteousness and judgment. And man is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. That's what's going on. That's what's happening in our world. And I make no apologies for speaking those words, because that is the word of God, not man's invention. And so we ought to be the children of light who are not partaking in darkness. And you know, the early church had a certain standard. And I fear that there are many wishy-washy churches today. Wishy-washy, glossing over sin, not wanting to confront sin, not wanting to confront wokeism, not wanting to confront the things that media is spitting out at us. But the early church had a different standard. They had a different standard, and they had a different standard amongst themselves. And in the book of 1 Timothy 5:20, Paul, writing to Timothy, to a young man, says this to him. Think of this. A man who is young in the faith and young in age. Paul writes and says this in 1 Timothy 5:20, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. Rebuke them in the presence of all. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Call it as it is, because this is the house of God and we are a holy people. We are children of light. We are not children of darkness. If we don't carry the emblem of Christ, who will? If we don't carry the light of Christ, the shining holy torch, who will? God's got no one else. He's got his church. And we are not to give in. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are not to be ashamed of our justification, and we ought not to be ashamed of our sanctification. If he has justified us, if we do not deny the cross of Christ, we ought not to deny the holiness of God. We ought not to deny the holiness of God. We ought not to deny that light. That light, what does the Bible say of the church? It says you are the people of God, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are a light. No one puts a bushel, no one covers the light, but they put it on a mantelpiece that all may see. And brother and sister, I appeal to you tonight. If you don't shine the light, who will? Who will? You know, it's more than sermonizing. It's more than sermons. It's more than a knowledge. It's the practicality we need. We need to go into this world and not participate in darkness whatsoever. That's the standard. That's the mark of God. That's the call of Christ on your life. If you want to know what you're called to,
you're called to holiness. If you want to know the first thing you're called to as a child of God, as a child of light, it's to your sanctification. It's to your holiness. That's the first thing. It's not fitting for children of light to walk in darkness. And Revelation 3:19 says these words, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent." If you today are walking in darkness, if you're walking in some hidden sin, if God is working in your life, be zealous and repent. Turn from that. And if you do, if you are zealous and if you repent, that's a sign that you're saved. That's a sign that you're God's. That's a sign that you are God's holy child of light. Not because of your own works which you have done, because the grace of God has saved you and is sanctifying you. Oh, brother and sister, allow the light to penetrate our lives. Look at verse 13 with me, please, in our text. Ephesians 5:13. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever makes manifest is light." You know, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you've lived a way that's unpleasing to God, if you've lived a way that's partaking in darkness, if you confess your sins, Christ is faithful. God is faithful and he is just because he is the justifier of us. He's able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, only then can we walk in the light. Only then can we reflect the light. Because 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and we proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." In God is no darkness at all. God is light. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing truth. We lie, we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, Paul the apostle, the Holy Spirit is about to take us, next time we come to these verses, is going to take us to the part of scripture where it talks about fellowship one with another, where it talks about speaking to one another in psalms and songs and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. You can only do that if you're a holy child of God. He has to get this to us first before we can understand what it is to come together and sing. There are churches out there which are worshipping Baal. They don't know the God of the Bible. They are in outward and open worship of Baal. They're worshipping a God of their own man-made hands. They have not met the God of the Bible. And they are not worshipping him. They do not know him. And their lives are dark. And they have religious experience on the outside of some kind. Some form of religious experience. Some form of conformity. When people see them. But they're in darkness. But this is the message we have heard from him and we proclaim to you. And I proclaim it tonight unashamedly. God is light. And there's no darkness in God whatsoever. And if you say that you have fellowship with God and you're in darkness and you're sinning behind the scenes, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to God and you don't know him. If you're making a practice of sinning, if you're walking in darkness, you're lying. But if we walk in the light, and this is the mark of the Christian. But if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, if you're confessing your sins to him, if you're getting your life right with God, if you're sensitive about your sin to God, and you mean it, and you're true, and you're sincere, then you can have fellowship with God's people, and you can see the blood of Christ cleansing you from all your confessed sin. Praise be to God for that. John's gospel is very clear. And when we read, as Pastor read this morning, John 3:16, those who accept Christ. But you know, in that passage, in that chapter, it also talks about those who did not accept Christ. And judgment is on them. They didn't want their deeds exposed. And you know, this next verse is somewhat of a linchpin. John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light. And that's what it is today. Light is still in the world. God's word is still in the world. God's Holy Spirit is still in the world. God's church is still in the world. We haven't been raptured yet. We're still here. We're the bearers of truth, God's word, God's Holy Spirit, and his life through us. Do not be deceived. People around us are still loving darkness because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And that's the sanctified person. That's the justified person. That's the child of God. If you're a child of God, you've been justified by Christ. You are now being sanctified and you are now coming to the light so that you can clearly make your deeds known to God and say, God, I can't do it. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I need you, Lord. I've fallen, I've grazed my knees again. I'm not walking as I ought to walk. And that's a difference between someone who's making a practice of sinning. That's a difference of someone who loves darkness and hates light. There's a difference. The child of God will come back to the light. The child of God will be drawn back to the light. The child of God will love the light, as penetrating and as hot and as sharp as an iron as it may be. They know that behind that light is a good and gracious God, is a loving Father who loves them and wants them on the right track. Those who love darkness are not genuine. Those who love darkness are liars. Those who love darkness are cowering in shadows and suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. But we as children of the light must keep coming back to the light, walking in the light. It's the greatest blessing we have. It's the light. It's God himself who is light. Consider with me some of the blessings of walking in the light. I'm speaking to believers now, to the saved saints of God. This is you. If this is you on the live stream, if this is you listening to this message, think of the blessing that you have as a child of light. John 8:12 says this, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So there's a blessing there. We have the light of life itself. We don't have to die. We have life, eternal life. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Think of the blessing if you're a child of light. We can overcome the power of evil by the light of Christ. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 119 and 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Praise be to God that light disperses fear. Light gives strength to overcome. And it lights up our path in this world. Think of further blessings. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, light is not talked about in a negative connotation, in a negative sense. It's marvelous. It's pure. It's holy. And no man can stand before it and live unless they go through the cross. unless they are justified by Christ. For that light would strike us dead. But when we know that holy light, when we meet with God, we love that light. We love the God of that light. And we proclaim that light to those in a dark world. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God still has us on this earth, brothers and sisters. We have not been raptured yet, except that's the best thing that could happen to us tonight, that we would be raptured even tonight. That'd be the best thing that could happen to us. But we're still here, and whilst we're here, we're the holy children of light. We ought to shine our light that others may see and give glory to who? The Father who is in heaven, the Father of lights. A final instruction to us tonight to walk in holiness is in verse 14 of our text, and it says this, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, and this is really the wake-up cry now. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. If you've been a Christian by name only, but not by life, then awake. Awake to righteousness. Awake. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. If you have awoken to righteousness, you have known God. If you know God, you've awoken to righteousness. But some are not awake. And Spurgeon comments and says, this sleepiness in the Christian is exceedingly dangerous. Because he can do a great deal while he is asleep, and it can make him look as if he were quite awake. So there he is asleep, but he looks as if he's awake. We can speak when we're asleep. We can hear when we're asleep. We can walk when we're asleep. We can sing when we are asleep. We can think when we are asleep. And Spurgeon says this, the man who is asleep does not care what becomes of his neighbors. How can he while he is asleep? And oh, some of you Christians do not care whether souls are saved or damned. It is enough for them if they're comfortable, if they attend a respectable place of worship and go with others to heaven, and they are indifferent about everything else. Brother and sister, if you're truly His, if you're truly God, if you're truly God's, you will care about others. You will care that they are in darkness and that you're in light. You will care that they are damned and that you are saved. You will care. You will be concerned. But the sleeping Christian, he does not care. He does not care. And so, brother and sister, allow Christ's light to fill you and flow through you. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. These are not good works of just mere outward show. These are the good works of a truly changed life, of a truly light-filled conscience, of a truly holy conduct of living. And so I close tonight with a plea for purity. As 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. If you reject these words tonight, if you reject this sermon, you're not rejecting my words. Because my words count for nothing, but the word of God counts for everything. And that's what the inspiration of Scripture and the authority of Scripture is teaching us in this closing statement in 1 Thessalonians 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. This is the way you ought to walk in holiness and to please God. And if you reject this, you're not rejecting us. You're not rejecting the early saints. You're not really rejecting the writers of these words. You're rejecting God. This is God's word. This is the word of God. That's why we can come tonight and proclaim this as God's word. Because it's not man's idea. It's God's authoritative scripture, brother and sister. And this is God's plea to you. When you see Paul pleading, when you see Paul beseeching, it's not Paul the man, it's the Holy Ghost in him. It's the Holy Ghost. It's God himself pleading. It's God himself beseeching. When you see, I bow my knee to God the Father, I plead with you, I beg you. It's God. It's not man. It's not man's showmanship. It's God through the scripture pleading with you. Repent. Be reconciled to God. And if you be reconciled to God, then walk in a manner pleasing to him. Walk in a manner that shows that you've been justified. That shows that you have been saved. Walk in the light, beloved, as he is in the light. And only then can we have fellowship one with another. And that's what we're going to go to next time in the book of Ephesians, where it talks about meeting together and singing and speaking a word to one another and having fellowship. It's in that context of holiness. It's in that context of sanctification that you can then come and be that holy church, that holy bride. Otherwise, we would just be a club. We may as well just join the local soccer club and meet there on Sundays. But if we are God's church, if we are God's children, we are set apart and sanctified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you are the author of this word, the Bible of truth, the word of truth. Oh, give us power to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. Help us to overcome by the Spirit's sword. Thank you that it is the Holy Spirit in us. Thank you that it is the sword that is the Word of God in us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that have left your blueprint for us to follow. Oh, Lord, may we not be wayward in our hearts. May we not be ineffective Christians who are just constantly being rebuked and put on the right path and not bearing fruit for you. God, may we be light bearers and fruit bearers. I pray for this church, Lord, that we be a holy church. That first and foremost we would be known for our separation from this world. For our holy conduct, as the early church were known. Father, perfect these works in us. Lord, help us to see the beauty of your light. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Help us not to be ashamed of sanctification. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, and to experience such fellowship one with another that is just onward and upward until we meet you face to face. We plead for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.